Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich, joined today by a returning guest. He's the contributor at Voices of Wrestling. It's Suit Williams. Hello again, Suit.
Hello, hello, Andrew. Always glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, glad you're back, as always, of course. Last time you were on was a little over a year ago. And that was back when you were still doing your WrestleMania review series on your blog. And now that's over. And you're doing a new series, I know, called As Good As It Gets, where you're reviewing a whole big list of matches from 1997 in chronological order. And I believe you're still in the early parts of the year, correct?
Yes, I am just now getting to WrestleMania in middle of March. I just passed WCW Uncensored. There's a lot going on in Puro. I've got some cool Lucha stuff going as well. So this is a project that I've gotten going. I'm going to try and get it a little more on a regular clip going forward every 2 weeks or so. But yeah, that's one of the projects I've got going on, suitwilliams.com. And I'm going to have some more things going between that and Voices of Wrestling as well. So I'm going to keep myself busy on the right in front.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, you're calling it As Good As It Gets because of the movie that came out that year with Jack Nicholson, Helen Hunt, Greg Kinnear?
Yes, that is actually the reason why. I use the logo for the movie, which is just the words, is the logo for the series whenever I can't find a cool picture.
I love that. I love that so much. I was thinking, you know, if you ever do this project again with, like, I don't know, 2003, you could call it, you know, The Rundown or Bruce Almighty or Bulletproof Monk. You know, these are free ideas for you there, Suit. So there you go. But
there you go. I'll have to keep it up.
Yeah. But anyway, this episode today will not be about 1997. It'll be about something going on this year, because this episode is called You Can't See Me, and that's the letter C, which we'll get to in a little bit. But You Can't See Me, of course, one of the famous catchphrases of John Cena, who is on the verge of retirement. He's only got a couple dates left before his last match on December 13th, and supposedly that's going to be it. I mean, we'll see what the Saudis have to say about that when it comes to their WrestleMania in a couple years. But yeah, for what we know right now, John Cena is about to retire. It's pretty monumental. I mean, you know, he's one of the biggest wrestling stars of all time, certainly the biggest of my fandom when I started watching. And that's been, I think, the crazy thing to me to think about, because I became a wrestling fan in summer 2003 when Cena had only been on the main roster for about a year. So I watched him go from mid-card heel white boy rapper to mid-card face white boy rapper to U.S. champion to WWE champion and perennial main eventer and megastar and smark wrestling fan enemy and all that jazz. Like, I came in right before the Ascension, and now it's 22 whole years later, and that ride's about to be over. And it's not shocking that it is, you know? He's been a part-timer for some time now, and mostly doing the acting stuff with Peacemaker and all that. But, you know, it is still weird to think about how we reached the end here, Suit.
It is. Cena's just one of those guys who, you know, he's part of the fabric of the company. You expect him to kind of just, you know, pop in whenever he can at this point. But now he's putting a button on it, putting a official end date on it. And, you know, between this and Tanahashi, it really does feel like there is a full-on generation shift that is starting. Like, there is pre these two retiring, and then there is post these two retiring. And that's going to be a world where we have, you know, someone new ascending to that top spot. Maybe it's someone who's that on the top right now. Maybe it's someone who's, you know, on the way up. But it feels like, you know, January 5th, 2026, when both those guys are gone, it's going to be a different business than it was before those dates, because those two are so just monumental to the companies they work for.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, I mean, Tanahashi retiring only a couple of weeks after Cena does. It's pretty crazy how the timing works out there. The thing is, though, you know, Tana's retirement tour hasn't been super great. It's been a little shaky. Cena's, though, my goodness. I don't watch WWE. Suit, that's your cross to bear. And God bless you for it. But from what I've seen reading results and on the periphery, this final Cena run has been quite bad. From an in-ring standpoint, from a promo standpoint, from a character standpoint, from a storyline standpoint. I mean, he turns heel for the first time in over two decades with The Rock and Travis Scott. It's this big shocking moment. And then The Rock disappears. Travis Scott goes away. Cena becomes a standard cheating heel. You people promos, all that. He's feuding with R-Truth, of all people. And it ends with him on SmackDown basically going, you know what? I'm a good guy again. Because Cody Rhodes beat me up once and nobody was there to help me. And it's like, what kind of somehow Palpatine returned bullshit storytelling is that? Like, it's just a bungled opportunity all around here for, again, John Cena. It's John Cena, one of the biggest wrestling stars in history. And this is what they had for his retirement tour, Suit?
It's shocking. It is a complete just nuking of the, like, idea that WWE is the storytelling, you know, we storyboard our ideas out years in advance kind of company. Like, that's not what they do. They do moments. And they had the moment of, you know, Cena turning heel, which was great at the time. And then they didn't have anything planned after that. And that is, it is promotional malpractice to not have this thing set up in advance where it's the story of the year. Like, we're coming up on his retirement in about, you know, 6 weeks from when we're recording this. And that could be the story of pro wrestling, given, you know, the world of wrestling where it is right now. Like, you know, Lucha's pretty good, but, like, John Cena's retirement should dwarf whatever CMLL's doing. But it just feels like it's, you know, it's a thing. It'll be a moment. They're going to have a tournament to decide who wrestles John Cena, which is, boy, that's an idea. And there, Cena's going to do his thing. He'll be gone, and that will be the last year of John Cena in the books. And WWE will be no different, no better, no worse off for it. He'll just be a guy that's gone. And that sucks. Because this could have been something. Mm-hmm. It really could have been. Because I was watching these WrestleManias coming up, and like, John Cena's like a lot better of a WrestleMania performer than I had it in my head. So when it got to like this year and he was coming up, I was like, man, I'm going to miss John Cena when he's gone. Big Match John's going to be gone. And, you know, then he puts out the stinker with Cody at WrestleMania. They kind of make up for it at SummerSlam with that very dumb match that I had fun with. And now he's kind of just, you know, doing exhibitions and he'll be gone in a month. It's a shame that this is kind of how it's ending, with a whimper, not a bang.
Mm-hmm. It's hard not to compare it as well to another recent major retirement in wrestling, which was Sting in AEW last year, and how lauded that whole final run of his career was and how cool that all was. It feels like night and day. I mean, there was no unnecessary heel turn on Darby. There were very few, if any, outright like bad matches or performances. Yeah, they were all tags, of course, but you still had Sting in his 60s, putting in the effort, taking big bumps, jumping off balconies like New Jack, you know, having this all-time great retirement match against the Young Bucks. It was essentially perfect, and maybe most importantly, you could really feel the genuine heart and the passion coming through. And I don't know if you can see the same about this final Cena run, because WWE is as plastic and soulless a wrestling company as there's ever been. You know, it's a Tin Man company. There's no heart. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of product. And it's all nice and shiny on the outside. But on the inside, to quote Will Smith in iRobot, it's lights and clockwork. And John Cena's kind of a robot himself there, too. So that's just the way it's going to go, Suit, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was in the building for Sting's first match in front of people at Double or Nothing 2021. And I was there at the retirement show at Revolution last year. And those are like, I'm going to remember those for, like, as long as I'm a fan. Like, you felt the, like, weight of, like, it's Sting. I'm seeing Sting. And he looks good. He doesn't look like this, you know, like a shell of himself. He still looks like Sting. And for Cena, he doesn't look like a shell of himself, per se. But you just don't feel like this. It's shocking. You don't feel like John Cena's retirement was a priority for WWE. And it goes back to promotional malpractice. That's just, it's not how I would do it, but, you know, how's my territory doing?
Well, in any event, Suit, this episode will not be bungled because you and I are at the helm here. But yeah, it's called You Can't See Me. I said before, it's the letter C, one of my famously delightful puns, because we are playing songs by artists and bands that start with the letter C. Earlier in the year, I did the G and IWGP stands for episode with Damon. This is the same concept, just a different letter, real simple. And we have 9 picks each and a playout song at the end. Suit, you are the guest. You'll go first. And your first pick here, tell people what this one is, because I have some stern words for you, my friend.
Yes, yeah, so this is a song that I think the first exposure I had to it was finding out that Jeff Cobb used this song on the independent scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is a song called Coming Undone, and it is by the band Korn.
Oh, Suit.
Yeah.
Joke again, I find my demons with my friends. Pity me, in the end they're out to get me. Since I was young I've chased this sorrow on my tongue, and this sweet sugar gun does not protect me. That's why
Yeah, so I got a little confused with the title because I was writing down my list and I just thought of Coming Undone by Korn. And I was like, yeah, there we go. I'll put that on. And then I wrote it down and I was like, oh, wait a minute. They spell it with a K. Whoops. But yeah, I do enjoy this song. It's very heavy, very strong, very, it's got that, you know, mid-2000s WWE pay-per-view vibe that I go for in a lot of my gym music. So yeah, it's just a heavy, strong, angsty, yeah, kind of rock song.
If you were anyone else, I would hit you with the Five Moves of Doom and the STF and that Chinese lightning fist move. And I would throw you off the show for that disgusting rule break. But because it's you, Suit, I'll give you a pass. You know, I've eaten a lot more Korn than I've ever listened to Korn. But the songs that I've heard by them, more often than not, I'm like, you know what? This is a banger. Freak on a Leash, Got the Life, Twisted Transistor, Falling Away from Me. And this is another one. It's got that steady chugging beat. Boom, boom, pa, boom, boom, pa, and the lyrics are typical dark Korn lyrics about mental decay and suicidal thoughts and demons and all that. So yeah, Korn with a K is all right in my book there, Suit.
Now look, this it the word Korn does start with C. All right, because they stylize it differently doesn't mean I'm fully off the path.
Like I said, I'll give you a pass just this once, maybe. But they've been going a long time too. They started out in the early 90s, and their first album was 94. Like, they're not just one of the big nu metal bands; they're pioneers of that style. They were doing it like a few years before it really blew up in 99-2000. And whatever your thoughts are about nu metal, they've sold over 40 million albums. So. You know, they're certainly, you know, legends in that regard there, Suit.
Yeah, they were one of the good ones. They lasted the test of time, as opposed to some other ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first pick actually starts with the letter C. Thank you very much. this is The Cult, and I'm not talking about WWE fans, folks. Come on now. Had to get it in there. This is from their 1991 album Ceremony. This song is called If. So that's a deep cut there, or a deep cult, you might say. Yeah, kind of a standard, yeah. We got to get together and find common ground kind of song. You know, the slow piano start and the big soaring rock chorus. It's nothing new, but I really dig it, and I really dig The Cult as well. They started out as like a goth rock post-punk band called Death Cult, and then they became this, you know, straight-up ripping hard rock band, and the two guys who have been there from the jump are Ian Astbury, the singer, and Billy Duffy, the guitar player. And this album, funny enough, it was them at kind of a low point in their relationship. Like, they couldn't even be in the same studio together recording. But it's still a kick-ass album, and their relationship mended, and the band is still going to this day, Suit.
Absolutely. This song rocks. in an alternate universe, this is the intro track for either NWA Power or Collision. Like, it's just got that kind of, like, soaring kind of, you know. Like, it, you could see, like, you know, who's someone in NWA? EC3 doing something in slow motion to this song. Is he still there? I don't know. But yeah, this song, very good. My first time hearing it. And it won't be the last. Added to the old light songs.
Well, how about that? Yeah, The Cult, like I said, that's one of their deeper cuts. But they've got a bunch of better known songs. Love Removal Machine, She Sells Sanctuary, Rain, Fire Woman, Sweet Soul Sister. Like, they have kind of a Native American influence with them in terms of, like, vibes and themes. And this album, Ceremony, is heavily inspired by Native culture. But the band is from England, so go figure there. So, yeah, there you go. But great band regardless. But all right, Suit, what's your next pick?
My next pick is a very popular one. This one, I wouldn't call this one a deep cut. That is not fitting for this song. It is off of the album Short and Sweet. This is Sabrina Carpenter with Juno. I showed my friends, then we high-fived. Sorry if you feel objectified. Can't help myself, hormones are high. A big fan of pop music. That may surprise some people, but I enjoy the Olivia Rodrigo. I enjoy the Chapel Roan. I enjoy the Sabrina Carpenter. Her kind of Betty Boop, pop country, cartoon horny kind of deal. I think that's a very good gimmick. But yeah, this album is very good. I enjoy Juno. This obviously got popular on the concert tour with the Have You Ever Tried This One bit, which very good. But yeah, just, you know, more of that pop country kind of twangy stuff from Sabrina, and I enjoy it. Fun song. Very fun is the first word that comes to mind when you think of Juno. Well, that and only.
Yeah, spoiler alert, this will not be the only explicitly horny song of the episode. So just be aware of that, folks. You know, somehow I've never listened to Sabrina Carpenter. Not that I'm actively avoiding her, I've just never listened to her music. And my big takeaway from this song is the contrast between this, yeah, really fun, pristine, like, white meat babyface pop music and the overt sexual nature of the song, because there are pop songs that are sexual and a bit risque, but the production feels here, it feels very family friendly and digestible, while she's literally saying, "I'm so fucking horny," and alluding to how big her man's dick is and breaking out the pink fuzzy handcuffs and wanting him to knock her up. Like, it's like, yeah, there's a raunchiness here that just listening to the backing music, you wouldn't really expect, Suit.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, you know, like the cartoon wolf that's like whistling and banging on the table.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of horny where it's like, you know, it's all right for the kids. Like, the kids don't like get the whole thing, but they'll dance to the song and I'll dance to the song.
I've also never heard someone use Juno as a reference to getting pregnant, because that's from the movie Juno with Elliot Page, formerly Ellen. It's about a teenager who gets pregnant, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it's not a very sexy movie. It's a coming-of-age story, and using it in the context of this horny song, it feels kind of weird there, Soon. I can't lie.
Andrew, you just blew my mind. I did not know that until just now. Like, I was wondering, like, what you make me Juno? All right, I don't really understand that, but hey, it's
not about
fun.
Alaska.
I'm waving my arms.
It's not about Alaska,
it's about Juno the movie. I didn't put that together.
The more you know, Suit. I'm here to help. I'm here to help.
How about that?
Yeah, but anyway, my next pick here. This is a band from Sweden that was originally called Caesar's Palace, but the hotel had a problem with that, so they just became Caesar's. And this is their best-known song. It's from their album Love for the Streets, and this song is called Jerk It Out. So just to get this out of the way, this song is not about masturbation. You can make that assumption for a very obvious reason, I know, but it's actually about just, you know, letting loose and dancing around, stuff like that, going crazy. I mean, this song, it was in a bunch of commercials, including for the iPod, and I don't think a song about jerking off would have been used for that, but yeah.
Well, hey, man, it was like 2005. Things were crazy back then.
But yeah, I love this song. It's got such good vibes and energy. The kind of early to mid 2000s vibes that you miss. And this is one of those cases where I heard this song when I was growing up. I listened to it a bunch. I loved it. And then for some reason, I just stopped listening to it for years. And then I rediscovered it like a couple months back. And as soon as I heard that opening organ melody, it all just slammed right back into me. Like, it was like reuniting with an old Swedish friend, their Suit.
Yeah, it got to the point, you know, I've been at that point with songs where it's like, it's not new to you anymore, and it kind of fades to the back, so it's not new, but it's not nostalgic, so it kind of is in that middle ground where, like, it'll come up on shuffle, and you just skip it to the next song.
Mm-hmm. Well, originally, this was put out in 2002, then the band did a new version that was a single in 2005, which became the hit. And it's their only one, really. And I was wondering, you know, what happened to these guys? They broke up in 2019, but it turns out one of the members is also a member of the band Teddy Bears. They have a song called Cobra Style. That was the theme for SummerSlam 2006. But another song they did was Punk Rocker with Iggy Pop, and that was just in the new Superman movie. I'm a punk rocker, yes I am. So, yeah, good for them.
How about that? Well, when I'm taking my notes for this show, I do, like, you know, little notes as I'm listening through. And when I started this song, my first note is, oh, I know this song. It's very credits to a teen comedy movie kind of song. But the iPod commercial, once you said it, it's like, yeah, that's where I know it from. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very, you know, like you said, very poppy, very mid-2000s kind of energy to it. You know, kind of, you know, this Wednesday night on NBC, get ready to laugh. That kind of thing.
What happens when a single dad moves? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Sud, what's your next pick there?
Coming up next off of the album Bears, Mayors, Scraps, and Bones from April 2010, this is Cancer Bats with the song Sabotage. As you could tell, this was a cover of the Beastie Boys' Sabotage. I had to pay tribute to Andrew, give that Northeast, you know, Boston kind of, you know, the rub there. I love what they did with this cover of Sabotage. It's still, you know, super high energy, but it's a heavier energy. It's a more metal energy, a more kind of just rah, more screamo energy. Very energetic. I think I remember coming across this song by way of Progress Wrestling, or Progress Wrestling, as they say over there. One of the few things out of Progress that made it through the pandemic and other situations. This was, I believe it was on a poll to like, I believe like one of the three lads put up a poll and it's like, pick one of these songs to be our, you know, the soundtrack to the 10 best matches of the year video. And this was one of them. This one got my vote. And yeah, it's just an excellent, you know, cover of Sabotage in the heavier metal style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this rocked. I mean, if you're a hardcore punk band who's going to cover a Beastie Boys song, I mean, this is the perfect choice because the original doesn't have rapping and has yelling, so no worries there. And the breakdown in the middle where the song drops out and the bass goes bow, boom, 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 and then the wah! That's tailor-made for hardcore punk anger and aggression. And it's a song with instruments as well. Guitar, bass, drums, just do the same thing there and you got it. It's not rocket science. So yeah, I had never heard of Cancer Bats before, but as far as covering a song goes, they nailed this for sure, Sue.
Yeah, I think their cover of Brass Monkey might not go as well, but Sabotage, they nailed it.
Yeah. And I looked up the music video for it. That's good, too. It's a parody of the Beastie Boys video where, you know, they were doing like a 70s cop show and chasing perps. In this video, the band is looking for the Beastie Boys to be in it. And they're chasing people around and tackling them to the ground, and it's not them every time. So it's a funny video to check out. I recommend it. But all right, my next pick here, we're going to skip on back to the 70s for a group from Detroit, Michigan. This is an outfit called CJ and Company, and this is from their debut album. It's the big hit called Devil's Gun.
Looking down the barrel of the devil's gun, I said I have nowhere to run. I gotta make a stand against the devil's gun.
Defy,
that is 7 minutes of pure disco funk goodness right there. I mean, that opening 2 minute buildup with the waka waka guitars and the bass line and strings, the backup singers, ooh, ah. If that doesn't get you pumped up, I don't know what will. And then we get a pretty silly but also memorable chorus, fee-fi, fo-fum, we're looking down the barrel of the devil's gun. You know, it's a catchy way to reference society's problems. And like with Jerk It Out, this is the only, like, big hit that CG and company had. And they were only around for, like, 2 years or so, but they still delivered a whopper of a jam right here, Suit.
Yeah, this is nice and funky. You can picture Don Cornelius introducing this on Soul Train. Just a very, very 70s track. When I looked it up on Spotify, it sent me into the soundtrack of the Netflix show that used it.
Oh, The Get Down, yeah.
Yeah, The Get Down. That was... Get Down is one of a dozen like Netflix shows that I think are interesting from the trailer, but then never watch. Netflix is very much like not on my radar, and not just because it's on not just because it hosts Monday Night Raw, but I just don't watch it very often. So The Get Down was another one of those shows, but they used this song "Devil's Gun," and it was a good choice. This was a nice, funky, you know, throwback to that era.
Mm-hmm. And I found a fun fact about this song. It's the first song played at Studio 54, the dance club, when it opened. The very first one. So yeah, again, for a band that was just around for a couple years, they made a mark on history, for sure, Suit.
How about hitting the bullseye there? Just right time, right place. Like Troy Aikman.
All right, what you got next there, Suit?
Next up! Off of the 2003 album Jackpot, this is One Call Away by Chingy. I'm only one call away. Just thought you would call over me. I'm only my love. It was word how we met, huh? She was with her mom at Bank America. With my son, cash in the check. So I asked out of respect, would she like to explore the world of how we can fly in my jet? Her reply. Yeah. I seen it in her eye, mama looking like all I wanted was sex. Then move to the next.
That ain't true.
But it was something about this girl's style that made me feel no regrets. We started off casual, walked through the park. Candlelight in us by dark. I'm thinking smart, afraid she might think I'm in a rush to touch, crush, and be up. But baby, I ain't on that stuff. Dropped her off and told her, call me up. We can talk, conversate about political subjects, whatever's thought. So I zoomed. Looking bottom, my phone rang. It was her in the shower. Said I couldn't do without her, then I said,
you thought you would come over me. I'm only my baby.
Alright, so I was going to pick a funny name to say on this show. It was between Chingy and Chameleonaire. I decided to go with Chingy. I picked One Call Away. I'll be honest, it's the chorus that I remember, and that is not Chingy singing it. That is a gentleman by the name of Jason Weaver. So, as far as the rap goes, it's one of the Saint Lunatics. It's Chingy, you know. He's very early 2000s. It's the style of the time, you know.
Well, I would have gone with Chameleonaire, but that's just me. You know, that's Ryden is a jam. Let's be honest about that, folks. But yeah, you know, if this song came out today, it wouldn't be One Call Away. It'd be One Text Away. And that text would be you up. But I love the rap ballad that is supposed to be very nice and loving, but it can't help but put in the stereotypical hip hop song lyric tropes. Like, Chingy talks about meeting this girl at the bank, and they start going out. It's all casual, kissing the cheek. And then the next thing you know, we get the lines, we can kick it and go puff on a blunt. Oh, you don't smoke? Grab a pint of Hen, and we can get drunk. It's up to you. I'm the man, But baby, just let me know, because if you got an attitude, then I could treat you just like a hoe. And it's like, oh, what a romantic that Chingy is, Sud. What a romantic.
I have to correct myself real quick. DTP, it was Disturbing the Peace, not Saint Lunatics. Don't correct me. I corrected myself. But yes, it's very funny how he's talking about her mom was worried all he wanted was sex, and you can hear an ad-lib in the back, like, yeah. Like, it's like, that was what I was thinking, but there's something special about her. So it's like, she was right. But yeah, it is a rapper's attempt at being loving. So, you know, I've heard worse. I've heard better, but I've heard worse. And I think that's, if that doesn't sum up Chingy, I don't know what does.
Well, he did pretty well with it commercially, because this went to number 2 on the charts, and it was kept out of the top spot by Usher's Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And and what also piqued my interest here was Jason Weaver, because he is the guy who does the singing voice of young Simba in The Lion King, which is pretty big. But I know him from 2 live-action roles. He was on the show Smart Guy with Taj Mowry. He played his brother. And he currently is on a Showtime show called The Chi, which I watch. So you have Lion King, Smart Guy, Chingy, and The Chi. Quite the career path there, Sud.
Those residuals are still coming in. Chingy, they're a little smaller, but people still bump right there. They still bump Holiday Inn. So, yeah.
My next pick, you name-dropped this lady earlier there, Sud. This is Chapel Rowan. Blowing up the past year or so. Going to be a big, big star. This is off of her debut and so far only album, The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. And this is Red Wine Supernova.
I like
what you like.
What you like.
Long hair.
No bra.
It's my type.
That's right. You just told me. Want me to fuck you.
Baby, I will. Cause I really.
Yeah, so Chapel Rowan calls this the gay girl version of Champagne Supernova by Oasis. And you know what? She's not wrong, because this song is both anthemic and also really horny. It's very similar to Juno in how upfront and raunchy it is with its message. Want me to fuck you? Baby, I will, because I really want to. She did it right there on the deck, put her canine teeth in the side of my neck. I heard you like magic. I've got a wand and a rabbit. That's a vibrator reference. So baby, let's get freaky, get kinky. Let's make this bed get squeaky, which gets a laugh out of me every time I hear that line. But yeah, horny or no horny, this is just a great dance pop song with a real fun chorus to bop along to there, Sud.
Yeah, I enjoy the Chapel Roan as well. Her letting everybody know that lesbians get horny too, which I personally didn't doubt, but hey, good for the reminder. You do want to be careful with the magic when you're in the bed. You know, pulling quarters out can get a little risky. You know, just be careful. Don't want to get infected or anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Chapel Roan, great singer. Love this song. Just another one, you know, like you said, dance pop. Sing, great chorus to sing along to, as most of hers are. Just awesome stuff. Pink Pony Club's great as well. I almost picked Feminine Nomenon for this list. I went with Sabrina Carpenter instead, but then I saw you picked, then you sent your list over after and had Red Wine Supernova on there. It's like, all right, we're covered. There
we go. I got you covered. I got you covered. Yeah, I have to thank friend of the show, Maura Johnston, for introducing me to Chapel Rowan. And I'm on board. You know, I like her stuff. And the crazy thing is, she put out Pink Pony Club in 2020. And her first album came out a few years later. And but those songs, they didn't hit until the next year with Good Luck Babe in 2024. And then it was like the rocket ship took off. And if she hangs on, it's going to be a hell of a ride for her, because she's got the goods to make it there, Sue. That's for sure.
Agreed. He's phenomenal vocal talent.
Mm-hmm. But, all right, what you got next there, Sue?
Up next, this is the, I believe it's the most recent addition to the list here. This is from the July 11th drop of Let God Sort 'Em Out by Clips. This is the opening track to that album, The Birds Don't Sing, featuring John Legend.
On my way to Texas, that's when Virginia hit me. And I realized in that instant, our last conversation, you was against it. Told you I was going to Turks for Thanksgiving. I heard what I wanted to hear, but didn't listen. You said you told Gene that Bup needed forgiveness. I see you went to Didi's and stuffed both her fridges. You even told Dad you wished y'all never split it. See, you were checking boxes, I was checking my mentions. Saying you was tired but not ready to go. Basically was dying without letting me know. I love you, Med Naj. Hate that he won't remember you. Two things that break my heart is what November's do. And T follows you. Now mind you, Didi calls you, Gene finds you. Was that your vision? Precision. While I'm reminiscing, it all hits different, my list.
The birds don't sing, yeah. The birds don't sing, they screech and play.
Bill Goldberg, Floyd Mayweather, John Legend on a chorus, undefeated. Yes, this. So the rollout for this album was very, it was very Pusha T in that he was shitting on somebody he didn't like. In this case, it was Travis Scott. A lot of the hype was around the track. Was it Ace Trumpets? No, it was So Be It was the track where there was a diss line about Travis Scott because he had interrupted the recording session to play his album, the album with Fiend on it, for those keeping score. And there was a diss track at the end towards the Clips and Pharrell, which he didn't play for them in front of them, so Pusha T didn't like that. He added a bar to So Be It about it, and that was kind of the lead into this album dropping earlier this year. So imagine my shock when I start the album expecting, you know, beef and diss and the Clips getting after it, and instead I get this ballad to their parents after they both passed away, talking about how, you know, finding them and just their last conversations and, you know, going, you know, Malice going through his father's notes, and I love my two sons was the password to your phone. It was a tonal shift, but it's a beautiful song. They actually performed this song at the Vatican earlier this year, which was just stunning to me on multiple levels. But yeah, a beautiful song here to start this great album, Let God Sort 'Em Out.
Yeah, I thought this song was incredible. My knowledge of Clips is nil. I know Pusha T from like Runaway and Story of Adidon, a couple other things, but the actual duo of him and Malice, I don't know their stuff really at all. But yeah, I was also surprised to hear this very revealing and vulnerable song. So much of gangster rap is about being hard men and tough and aggressive and all that. But here, yeah, they're openly grieving the loss of their parents. And Malice finding their dad's body and Pusha T regarding the last conversation with, you know, with their mom and being dismissive, you know, before she died. And there's a lot of regret there, you know, instead of the usual bravado and confidence, which I think makes it very relatable. You know, we all have regrets in life, especially when it comes to family members who have died. And yeah, you add John Legend in the chorus and Voices of Fire as the choir and the string section. It's a very emotional song, Sue.
Yeah, they have 12 other songs to get their gloat. Now this one was for them, and it was, yeah, it's a just a beautiful, beautiful track.
Mm-hmm. And the outro is Stevie Wonder not singing, but just saying the lines, "Remember those who lost their mothers and fathers, and make sure that every single moment that you have with them, you show them love. You show them love. You'll see." And that's not the only Stevie Wonder we'll get on this episode, folks, by the way. So just stay tuned for that. But yeah, all in all, just a real heavy hitter there of a song, for sure. But all right, my next pick here, are going to rep some guys from my neck of the woods, Boston, Massachusetts. This is The Cars. And I went with a song off of their second album called Candy O from 79. This is the closing track. This is called Dangerous Type. So, Rich and Joe like to talk about dumb jock wrestlers. If there were dumb jock bands, The Cars would not be one of them. They are very much on the nerd side of things, especially Rick Ocasek with the way he sings, the way he writes. I mean, a song that has the word geranium in it is not going to be doing the Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards superplex spot, that's for sure. But The Cars are still a great band. They are a definitive band of the 80s because they stopped in 88. And this song wasn't a single, but it's still very well liked among Cars fans because of the way it builds up and adds these little bits and bobs and has that crescendo towards the end with all the synths and modulated vocals going there and so forth. So, yeah, I'm always going to go to bat for The Cars there, Asu.
Yeah, this is a very 80s song. It's, you know, very, like, sassy and kind of flirty. Like, there's, like, a, you know, a wardrobe montage in an 80s movie kind of feel to it. You know, it's very, you know, very of the time. And I enjoyed listening to it for the first time here. Yeah, good stuff. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, The Cars, they're no longer around because Ben Orr, the other lead singer, died several years ago, and they reunited in the 2010s as a quartet and did one more album. Then Rick Ocasek died a few years later. So, yeah, they're done and dusted, but in less than a decade with their main output, they had like six top 40 albums, something like 13 top 40 singles. So they crammed a lot into that original run there, Sue, that's for sure.
Hey, they came hot and heavy from the sounds of it.
Definitely, definitely. But all right, Sud, what's your next pick there?
As I pull this up, this next song has a little bit of a, has somewhat of a personal, no, not personal, but I know this song pretty closely. This is from the 2005 album The Evolution. This is Like a Boy by Sierra.
The trash, get in your cash like I'm fast, like I'm girl. You wanna act like it big. Security codes on everything, on my bracelet, phone don't ever ring. And another one he don't know about. Wish we could switch up the roles, and I could be that. Tell you I love you, but when you call, I never get back. Would you ask them questions like me, like where you be at? 'Cause I'm out 4 in the morning, on the corner rolling, doing my own thing.
Alright, so my personal memory of this song, as I was clumsily trying to explain earlier, was that in the video for this song, Sierra is dancing around a man, and that man is Reggie Bush, the former Heisman Trophy winner, and at the time, New Orleans Saint. So seeing my running back on the new Sierra video was very exciting for me as a young Saints fan back when, you know, Louisiana sports as a whole were worthy of respect. But, this is a great song of Sierra just, you know, flipping the script, just asking her man, hey, what if I acted like you? What if I was out till 4 in the morning? What if I didn't pick up the phone? What if I had, you know, an account on the side? You know, so a very fun dance track from Sierra, who was very good at putting out dance tracks and very good at dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sierra is one of those names I've heard of a lot, but she's not in my wheelhouse, so I've never listened to her. I think the most recent time I saw her was on a billboard outside TD Garden because she was opening up for Missy Elliott. It was her, Busta Rhymes, and Timbaland were opening for Missy there. And listening to this...
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. My thoughts are, yeah, she's really good. Very talented, for sure. And I like this song, too. It's got a good point of view. Like you said, a woman being sick of her guy acting like just an asshole all the time and ignoring her and sleeping around. And how would you like it if I did that to you? It's a very relatable topic to a lot of women, I'm sure, Suit.
Yeah, I was listening to a lot more R&B when I was younger, and that's when Sierra was, you know, making her rise. She had her first single, Goodies, and he would collaborate a lot with Missy Elliott. They have Lose Control. That's a Missy track that Sierra's on as well. So, yeah, she's just a very good R&B artist, and this is one of my favorite songs of her for the song reasons and because of Reggie Bush being in the video.
Yeah, I remember watching the video the other day, and I was like, is that Reggie Bush? What's he doing here? But yeah, in the video, she's dressed like a boy, and the dancers are dressed like boys as well. And she does this crazy, like, Matrix dance move, which I guess is her thing. And I was like, okay, you know, Elix Skipper, Trish Stratus, eat your hearts out. There you go. So that's pretty cool. But... But all right, my next pick here, let's dive into the world of big beat music with a duo called The Crystal Method. And I picked a song off their 2001 album, Tweekend. This is the song Name of the Game.
Shake the dreams, the fire inside of your burning ground. Battle with gas to give you room to breathe through an adequate mask. Everybody get fucked, let me see you pumping your fist. Give you up in the back room when you're rocking with this. Come on, keeping your speaker knocking, jumping, banging, bumping, blazing hot, calling all freaks. No,
yeah, if you were a TV show or a movie in the 2000s and you needed music for a scene with badass characters, slow-mo, shootouts, big car chases, explosions, this was the song. Like, this was in so many things, from Resident Evil to Blade 2, Tropic Thunder, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, Malcolm in the Middle, the list goes on and on and on. And in fairness, it's a pretty damn cool song. I mean, the mix of big beat and the metal guitars from Tom Morello, the DJ record scratching, Ryu from Styles of Beyond on vocals, that's the name of the game. Like, even listening to it on my bed, in my pajamas, I felt like an utter badass. So its overuse back in the day was quite warranted, in my opinion, there, Asu.
Well, I avoided it somehow because this was my first time hearing it.
And really?
This gave me a similar vibe to what you were talking about. This gave me a vibe of like video game menu music when you're like a Need for Speed or like a Madden, yeah. When you're like scrolling through and you're listening to this. You're like, you're kind of listening, but you're not listening. But then you start hearing the song and you're like, getting into it a little bit. You go to the soundtrack to see what song is this. I like this song. Like, it is a very like catchy, earwormy kind of track. The scratch, and that's the name of the game. That one just burrows in your head, and it's a sick beat, and it's a very good song. So I want to see if there's more of these. Well, you're probably gonna tell me if these guys did much more in as far as like songs I maybe have heard, but this was a very good introduction to the Crystal Method, which the name I didn't put together until I heard you say it out loud. Like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, they have a couple other songs. Born Too Slow is one of them. They've done a few remixes of songs that I like a lot. But I was wondering though, where that sample comes from. Listen, all you motherfuckers, that's the name of the game. It's from the singer named Tina Dixon. She was known as Auntie Tina Dixon, and she would do these raunchy party records in the 70s, like Red Fox would do, or Rudy Ray Moore, and one of those records was called Calling All Freaks, and I clipped out the two bits from the original song just to hear what they sound like. So here we go.
Calling all freaks! The freaks are calling! Listen, all you motherfuckers! Snort good cocaine! Don't be ashamed, because you know one thing, that's the name of the game!
So, yeah, I didn't play the rest of the song because it is absolutely filthy and offensive and not safe for work at all. But yeah, we talked about this on the show before. These DJs, man, they can find samples in the most obscure and random of places. And yeah, here it's this little known party record suit. It's amazing.
One of the only uses I have for TikTok alongside highlight reels of white NBA players set to Green Day is seeing the samples come together. There's like TikTok accounts that'll like show you where the samples come from and then like show piece by piece the song coming together. And that producer's ear is no joke. It is incredible the things they can do with just a snippet of a song and create this whole new piece of art out of it. I have such a respect for producers that can do that kind of thing, because it's truly unbelievable when you see the whole thing come together.
Same, especially with like, you know, dozens of samples in the same song all working off each other. It's pretty incredible to see that, you know, play out for sure. But all right, Sud, what's your next pick for us?
Well, you talked about not safe for work. this next song, well, let's just get into it. This is a single from 2020. This is by Corpse, a.k.a. Corpse Husband, featuring Savage Gasp. This song is called E-Girls Are Ruining My Life. Not the song to play around the parents. I was first made aware of Corpse Husband by he used to Twitch stream, and he during the pandemic he would be with other popular streamers like Valkyrae, which is where I found him, and he would be just playing Among Us with a bunch of popular streamers, and later on, I found, some of his music, and this song came across my timeline, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's going on the gym playlist. It is high energy, it's got his trademark, super, deep, raspy voice. It is raunchy, to say the least. There's a ton of anime references. And yeah, it's just a very cool song once you get over the shock of it, because it catches you off guard.
My reaction to this suit was the same as Colin Farrell in The Batman. Holy God, what are you showing me? Come on! I've never heard of Corpse. I've never heard of Savage Gasp. They seem to really like anime, given the references to Death Note and One Punch Man and Naruto, which is a staple of the e-girl, e-boy culture. They're big into kawaii. There's an ooh-woo in the song. And they have a rather dark view of things, too. I mean, any song that references Luke Magnotta, the guy who uploaded videos of himself killing kittens and then murdered a Chinese college student, it's not going to be a happy song. And look, I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum, but this is not for me suit, and I'm glad it's as short as it is.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. I will say that.
And if anybody is wondering, is there really an audience for this? 58.5 million views on YouTube, 334 or so million Spotify streams, certified platinum in the US, number 17 on the UK indie charts. Like, this song, by these metrics, is a hit. I don't know it. I'm sure many others don't know it. But that's the thing about today's pop culture. It's so fractured that there can be a song with millions upon millions of views and listens, and people outside that bubble just won't know about it soon.
Oh, I love you, Andrew. You're going, I don't know who knows it. I don't want to know who knows it.
Look, I just want to move past it, okay?
We can move on.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to another classic rock band. This one, still kicking around, still going. It's the pride of Rockford, Illinois. This is Cheap Trick. And I picked a song off of their 1985 album, Standing on the Edge. This is Tonight It's You. Can't win, 'cause time can't lose. So stop what you're doing. Yeah, Cheap Trick, one of the all-time great power pop bands, Surrender, Dream Police, I Want You to Want Me, The Flame, a lot of big songs in their catalog, and this song really exemplifies what they do best. You've got the power chords and the big heavy drums and the energy of the hard rock world, namely in the pre-chorus and the chorus, mixed in with the melodic hooks and the harmonies and the romantic longing of the pop world. All I want is a place in your heart to fall into. All I need is someone to love, and tonight it's you. And it all comes together into this really pleasing love song that still has a kick to it as well there, Suit. So yeah, a big fan of Cheap Trick there.
Yeah, this is super like drive time 80s, you know. You can see some guy, you know, square jaw, long blonde hair, just driving around in his, you know, Pontiac Eldorado or whatever the fuck, just going down the highway listening to this one. It is, yeah, it's just a super fun, just super, you know, just an 80s love song, classic, like you assume, like you kind of put it together in your head, and yeah, just a great listen. I enjoyed this one.
Cool. And timing-wise, I made a good choice because the album turns 40 years old this year, and the band is putting out a new album, I think literally days from this episode dropping. It's their 21st studio album, and it's got a great name. It's called All Washed Up, and the album cover is a bunch of washing machines. And that's a staple of Cheap Trick, their sense of humor. So, yeah, still rocking after all these years. Good to see there. But all right, Suit, what is your second-to-last pick?
All right, my second-to-last pick, as I pull up the album now, this is the title track off of Chaka Khan's 1983 album. This is I Feel For You.
Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Chaka Khan, let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too. So let me take you in my arm, let me fill you with my charm, Chaka. Cause you know that I'm the one to keep you warm, Chaka. I make it more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, Chaka, baby, cause you make me wanna scream. Let me rock you.
My personal memory of this song is back, gosh, maybe like 15 years ago or so, my oldest sister Brooke, who is about 7 years younger than me, she would go to her dance classes at the Art and Motion Studio in New Orleans. Shout out to them. I don't know if they're still running, but hey, if they are, here's a plug. And her first dance recital was set to this song, I Feel For You by Chaka Khan. And I have remembered it ever since because when me and my mom would pick her up from dance class, this is the song that would, you know, they'd be dancing to. So yeah, this song, has stuck with me in the years and years since. My sister has since graduated from college, which is wild to think about. But yeah, and this song has stuck with me the whole way through, and every now and again I'll send it to her and she'll pretend she remembers the dance for it. So yeah, just a very upbeat Chaka Khan style song.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to give a big thank you to Grandmaster Melly Mel, because without him, I never would have known who sings this song. I would have been so lost if he didn't say Shaka Khan 8,000 times. But that's, you know, that's part of what makes this song a classic, along with her singing the funky disco synth beats, the music video with the breakdancers, and also a vocal sample from Stevie Wonder's Fingertips. So, yeah, it's just a good time all around. I think the only thing that would have made it better is if it had TNA Knockout Raka Khan make an appearance somehow soon. That would have been the cherry on top there.
Oh, that would have been something, huh? If they could, you know, maybe if he was around when Billy Corgan was around, maybe he could have swung that. He got a few licensed tracks on Impact back in the day.
Oh yeah, definitely. And this is a cover as well, originally done by Prince for his second album. And then this version became a much bigger hit. And I think Prince has written as many hits for other people as he has for himself, because you look at other songs, you know, Nothing Compares to You, Manic Monday, Jungle Love, Sugar Walls. I mean, the sphere of success that Prince had wasn't just confined to him. It spread on to others as well there, Azut.
And you can go 15 years never knowing that like I did. I did not know this was a cover.
Once again, the more you know, I'm here to help, Suit.
How about it? Help. You help me learn about songs, I traumatize you with that corpse song.
It sort of evens out, maybe? I don't know, but... Oh, yes. Well, my second to last pick, this is by the band Chromatics. And this is a song I first heard on season 3 of Twin Peaks, The Return, because throughout that season, there would be bands that played songs on the show at the Roadhouse. And this was the first band to play in episode 2. So let's hear their song called Shadow. That song a Tim Thatcher match? Because, baby, I'm feeling sleepy. Folks. that song, it puts the dream in dream pop. Like, Chromatics in general, they're not the wildest band in the world, but the tempo, the light and ethereal and layered vocals from Ruth Radelet, the hypnotic percussion, the strings that come in, it really feels like some sort of beautiful lullaby. That's also kind of haunting. At night, I'm driving in your car, pretending that we'll leave this town. We're watching all the streetlights fade, and now you're just a stranger's dream. I took your picture from the frame, and now you're nothing like you seem. Your shadow fell like last night's rain. And the fact that the band performed this song on Twin Peaks is perfect, because that show is also beautiful and haunting and strange and alluring all at the same time. So... yeah, this song, it won't blow your face off, but it'll stick with you, because it stuck with me there, Sue.
Yeah, my note for this song was a lovely, ethereal kind of song. And when you said it was performed on Twin Peaks, I was like, oh yeah, that tracks. It is, you know, that very kind of, you know, dream state, half awake, half asleep kind of feel to it. Like, you can... it's those kind of dreams where you're like it feels like you're underwater, but you're not. Like, there's that weight to it, kind of. Mm-hmm. And this song kind of, like, personifies that feeling. It is a very, very interesting kind of feeling and a very interesting song. And I would, and yeah, it is, it would be a lovely song to take a nap to. Not that it's boring, but that is just the vibe I believe Chromatics are going for.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. The only other songs I know by them are Tick of the Clock and Under Your Spell, because they were both used in the movie Drive with Ryan Gosling, along with Night Call and A Real Hero. So yeah, very synth-pop heavy soundtrack, and they fit right in, of course, because they're a very, very synth-heavy band there, Suit.
They got a fever, and their cure is more synth.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Suit, what's your last pick of the episode here?
Final pick off of the 1983 album She's Strange. This is Cameo with the song Talking Out the Side of Your Neck.
Rocking the boat. You think you get away with political crime, but don't take it for granted. They're still on our mind. Not some of the people, some of the time, but not all of the people, all of the time. Tricking it, boy, I'm checking out all the Ronnie Reagan too.
So this song is a very common song for college marching bands to play during football games. And I went to LSU, and I learned, and much of the country learned, that the LSU student section has their own spin on this song, where as the band plays the chorus of the song, the LSU student section will go, "Hey, oh, suck that tiger dick, bitch." And that has led to the SEC fining LSU whenever they play the song. And that has led to some LSU alums offering to pay the fine whenever LSU wins a big game. So it's also spawned the phrase let them play neck and let the band play neck for LSU games. So yeah, personal tie there. Not as nice as the other ones, but yeah, a little fun nonetheless.
I'm shocked that college sports fans would chant something so rude, Suit. It seems so unlike them. I can't believe it.
Yeah, young adults. You'd think they'd be more buttoned up.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, earlier I played Devil's Gun, which had the line fee-fi-fo-fum. And I thought, oh, that's so silly. Here comes Cameo with this song, which has the line tweedly-dee, tweedly-dum, tweedly-dee, ho-hum. In the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Jesus Christ, son, get serious. But in any event, I can see why so many marching bands have adopted this song, because it's got the horns, it's got the funky groove, and despite being written specifically as an attack on the Reagan administration and Tricky Dick and Jimmy Mac Carter and all those guys, it still has the refrain, you're going to get what's coming to you yet. And that line is universal enough to direct at, you know, any sports opponent there, Sue.
Absolutely. A very, you know, very 80s song. You know, Cameo, you know, their big hit is, to me at least, is Word Up.
Word Up.
And this is very much in that same kind of energy, you know.
Mm-hmm. And same time period too, you know, mid 80s, right around there. But yeah, Cameo, one of those bands where they've got a bunch of albums before their big hit, Word Up, got a bunch of albums after their big hit, but everyone just knows like this specific, you know, era of the band there. So
yeah, they weren't necessarily one hit wonders. Like the Word Up album was in 86. There was Candy on there as well. That's a song. Mm-hmm. I know that's a known Cameo song.
Mm-hmm. But all right, my last pick. This is a guy who, when I was a kid, I knew him as the guy who does the Keenan and Kel theme. Oh, here it goes. It's Coolio. And this is a song that turns 30 years old this year. It was first on the Dangerous Minds soundtrack, but then the single came out and just overshadowed that movie and became an absolute juggernaut. This is featuring LV. What else would it be, folks? It's Gangsta's Paradise.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta lope. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Been spending most of the nights living in the gangster's paradise. Been spending most of the nights living in the gangster's paradise. Keep spending most of the nights living in the gangster's paradise.
Yeah, you see this song on a lot of lists of best songs of the 90s and best rap songs ever. And you know what? They're right, because it is. You know, it's iconic from stem to stern. The opening line, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Boom! Sets up the whole message of the song right there. You have the Stevie Wonder Pastime Paradise sample. That's iconic. That's memorable. LV singing his heart out in the chorus and the bridge. The choir in the background, the music video with Michelle Pfeiffer from Dangerous Minds. Every facet of this song helped it become a massive and enduring song. And if you listen to this and you don't feel anything, especially when it goes, "We've been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise," you are dead inside. Because even after all these years, I still feel that stir within me, Sue.
Yeah, I took notes on every other song on this list. When I got to Gangsta's Paradise, I was like, yeah, I know this one. I could talk about this one. I was going to make a joke about, have you ever seen Dangerous Minds?
I've seen some clips, but not the whole movie.
I was going to say neither is anybody else, but it did gross $180 million against a $23 million budget. So people did see it. So there goes that joke. But this is a phenomenal song. It's, you know, it just gives you that real, like, slice of real life that 90s hip-hop would. And, you know, the line that's always stuck with me is, you know, I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things is going, I don't know. It's that just one, like, that wonder of, like, man, am I, like, what's my life going to be a year from now? I don't know if I'm going to have one is, you know, it's real and it hits. And the song is a phenomenal track. The beat is phenomenal. That outro sticks with you. The harmonizing out is, you know, it's an iconic song, and with very good reason. It's made 30 years this year. We'll be talking about it, you know, 10 years from now, 40 years. It is a song with an enduring legacy, a legacy bigger than the movie, which was a hit. And a legacy that's going to be bigger than Coolio's, you know, to say it.
And the story goes, at first, Stevie Wonder refused to let Coolio sample Pastime Paradise because the original version had swearing. But then Coolio took out the swears and got the approval. And obviously that was a very smart decision on his part. And speaking of Stevie, there's a performance of this song at the 1995 Billboard Music Awards. Coolio and LV are there with the choir, a string section, and halfway through, you hear Stevie Wonder's voice singing Pastime Paradise. And it's like, where's that coming from? Stevie Wonder walks out, the crowd goes nuts, standing ovation right away, and him, Coolio, and LV do like this mashup of Gangstas and Pastime Paradise. It's a fantastic performance, and I highly recommend you check it out, Sue.
I definitely will. Stevie probably knew where he was, what mark to hit on the stage too, but that's neither here nor there.
Yes, yes, and R.I.P. Coolio. Died a couple years ago, sadly. But LV is still with us. In fact, he was just on Last Week Tonight back in the summer, and he sang the chorus of the song, and he still sounds great. Still sounds as he did 30 years ago. It's amazing. So good for him there. But all right, that was the episode. Those were our picks. And Suit, much like John Cena's career, our time is almost up. The last time is now. And despite your early shenanigans with Korn, this was another fun chat here on the podcast. Thanks so much as always, man. You were great.
Thank you as always for having me, Andrew. And as always, I'm happy to come on.
Definitely, definitely. Any plugs you want to give, go right ahead.
You can follow me on the social medias that matter at Suit Williams, suitwilliams.com for my personal wrestling blog, projects. I watch shows. I just watched a DPW Super Battle. If you want to see me dive into Deadlock, you can check that out as well. And voicesofwrestling.com, I am the canary in the coal mine for World Wrestling Entertainment. And I also, I'll preview and review shows as the inspiration comes to me. And I'll say it on here, I have a new project coming to voicesofwrestling.com very soon. So ooh, keep your eyes peeled for that.
You tease, yes, we'll look forward to that very much for sure. Yeah, Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. All the great shows on there. As Suit said, voicesofwrestling.com. Blue Sky at Music of the Mat and at Just Andrew on Blue Sky. If you want to leave a comment about this episode, share your picks. voicesofwrestling.com/Discord. It's also where I post the Spotify playlist for each episode. And of course, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, your podcast player of choice, and leave a nice rating and review. Okay. The playout song here, this is the late, great soul singer, Mr. Charles Bradley. Earlier in the year on the covers episode, I played his version of Changes by Black Sabbath. Let's go out with another song of his off that same album. This is called Ain't It a Sin. Thanks again, Suit.
Thank you.
Try to be a righteous man. Talk to the Lord most every day. Sometimes this world can do me wrong. I keep to the path, won't go astray. When I start falling over, my feeling catch a flame. I be a man, say a man, but you won't be the same. If you ain't gonna do me right, just do you in. Ain't it a sin? Ain't it a sin?
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.